Good afternoon. It is Kevin. We are live in studio with Kevin. And I am super pleased to welcome Grace Hilbig to the studio. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing well. And how about you?
I'm doing fantastic once I get my levels going. So we're also live. So we are live on the air, 102.7 FM, Rogers Digital 946, and radiowaterloo.ca/listen. And we are also live on Facebook as soon as I launch it, which I'm going to do. There we go. We get a little 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we are live. So what do we have here, Grace? What the heck is that?
Oh, it's the station logo made out of Lego bricks. You can make a bajillion things out of Lego bricks, and in a few minutes, I just put this together.
Yeah, this is cool. So for those of you that aren't on Facebook, we'll hop on because we've got an interactive show today where right now we've got, and I was pretty impressed. You put together, just as we were chatting earlier, all of a sudden the logo. Yes, I know to you, you're like, yeah, it's four letters, big deal. But to me, it's like, okay, now boom, the logo's come out of this pile of bricks and with a rainbow on the left and a heart.
Yep,
so,
a heart.
Beautiful. I was going to introduce you, Grace, as Kitchener Lego artist.
Sounds like me.
Okay. I know we could add lots more words to the end of that, but hopefully we'll get to know you a little bit more through this.
Sure.
So thanks, first of all, thanks so much for coming on. I'm really excited to get to know you more and have an opportunity to hear more about you and about Lego and how you use Lego for good in the world.
My pleasure.
So maybe start. I've got a few questions and whatnot, but I'll start the way I start every show, just by asking you, if you don't mind, to just tell us where you were born in terms of the city, and then you could take us through as little or as much as you want from then to now, and
sure,
then we can pick up from there.
Yeah. So I wasn't born in Kitchener. I was born in southwestern Ontario, moved around a bunch. And of course, as a child, I enjoyed playing with Lego. And I had, you know, all kinds of castles and dragons and spaceships and the works. And then, you know, as is typical, I became a teenager and I went away to university. And that's where I came to the University of Waterloo. I've been here ever since. Even volunteered on CKMS about 15 years ago doing the morning news. And I really thought Lego was behind me. I in fact sold my entire Lego collection to a friend who had kids because I thought, well, you know, I don't need it. And then a funny thing happened, which was that my kids started to get into Lego, mm-hmm, and the Lego movie came out, mm-hmm, with a whole bunch of great actors and fantastic script, and I started to play with Lego again. And at first it was just with my kids, and then I found that I was playing with it well after they'd gone to bed. And I was enjoying it more than they were. They would say, you know, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? And I would be like, yeah, but what about the Lego? Can we play with the Lego? And at the same time, my mental health started to suffer tremendously. I've struggled with anxiety, self-harm, depression, suicidality over the years. Mm-hmm. And my mental health got to a breaking point where I spent 6 weeks in the psych ward at Grand River Hospital. I tried to kill myself several times and eventually sort of lost my mind and hitchhiked to Ottawa. And when I got back from that, hell of an excursion. Mm-hmm. I started out a new life, and one of the first things I bought in that new life was Lego.
Oh wow.
And I found that it was a coping tool for me. It was a therapy strategy. Mm-hmm. And my therapist would keep Lego in their office. I would keep Lego with me throughout the day, and it just sort of grew from there. I built spaceships and castles and every manner of vehicle that you could imagine. And then I sort of got bored of it because I had built everything I want. So I thought, well, where can I take this? Because Lego is an art tool. It's mm-hmm. it's a medium. And I thought, what could I do? And so I started creating things that talked about mental health, because I'm an advocate for mental health and a bunch of other issues. I'm transgender and advocate strongly for LGBT rights and against transphobia and homophobia. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring that to Lego. So one of the first pieces I built, I did bring it with me in studio. So it is an arm. So it has the forearm, and then
a bit more. There we go. We got some without knocking over, but oh, that's even better. Look at that.
And then wow. You know, it's got the hand and all the fingers, but along the arm are these red stripes.
Okay.
And the red stripes match my arms because during my mental health struggles, I self-harmed a lot, and I was a cutter, and so. I built this as a model of my own arm.
Okay.
I'm just gonna bring my own arm into the.
I guess I could. I could move the camera, but this is easier. So you literally used your own arm, your own scars, as the model for this one. That was your first sort of non-traditional or mental health focused Lego.
Yep.
Now even these hand. This is so. These hand. The fingers here in particular. Was that like the. What am I trying to ask here? There's not a hand kit of Lego.
No,
you don't
no.
go to the store and say, "Yeah, I want to build an arm." So you literally had to just use the right little things. I mean, that is quite realistic.
Yeah,
it's something. I mean, had I seen this, or well, I had seen it when you brought it in. Quite frankly, I even knowing what we're going to talk about, it certainly didn't occur to me the significance of the red. So it's.
Yeah, it took me, it was quite a process to build it, mm-hmm. Not only just in terms of getting the model right, but in terms of my own healing process and thinking about and building it. There were a lot of, I built four different versions of it before the finalized one that I'm happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did... what a lot of people do when they build things with Lego. I took pictures of it and shared it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. There's lots of different groups on Facebook for people to share pictures of their Lego. I shared it on one of the biggest groups, which is the Adult Fans of Lego. And I had been part of that group for a long time, and I'd seen, you know, spaceships and mm-hmm. motorcycles and cars and cities. And I shared this sort of thinking, well, this is different. I don't know how people are going to respond. And I was blown away by the response. I got well over 300 comments and likes and people from all over the place commenting on it, saying how they use Lego for their own therapy to help them with whether it be mental health issues or physical disabilities or learning disabilities, mm-hmm. Whatever. And that really got me thinking and set me on a path to use Lego as a great tool to discuss mental health and to help improve people's lives.
Hmm. And you actually started a Facebook group specifically around that, and that's called Lego Saved My Life.
Yes.
So when did you start that?
I started less than a year ago.
Okay.
Probably June of last year.
Okay.
And when I started it, the reason I started it was that when I would post creations that I made talking about Lego and mental health to these Lego groups, I would always be flooded with stories of how Lego helped other people. And I would be blown away, and I would think, wow, like there's got to be a place for this. And a place where we can all share, and we can suffer together, but we can also we can learn and grow and enjoy each other's company. And there didn't exist one. And so I thought, well, I'll start one. And so I started Lego Save My Life. And I thought it would be, you know, a neat place for some of my friends and people to, you know, people I personally knew to hang out and share stories. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the internet had other plans.
Oh no!
And it grew, and it currently mm-hmm. We have over 750 members from around the world,
mm-hmm.
all ages, ethnicities, backgrounds, socioeconomic statuses, orientations, all kinds of stuff, and people come there and they connect. They show things that they've built. They ask for support when they're going through a rough period. They offer support when someone else is going through a rough period. It's become a support network.
Mm-hmm. And not everybody necessarily in the group is sort of actively using Lego for therapy at that moment. Is that correct? I mean, that's a large part, but is it fair to say some are totally into it for the amazing, from the Lego perspective, I guess. Do you have some of that?
There are people who join it who just like Lego.
Right.
But most people are aware that this is a group that will discuss tough issues. So I've heard stories of how Lego has helped people save marriages, help people save their sanity during a divorce,
mm-hmm.
Help them be able to live with their kids while they're self-harming and not commit suicide, to help them recover from an abusive spouse,
mm-hmm.
Who tried to murder them. Just so many powerful stories and it's just bricks.
Pieces of plastic.
It's just pieces of plastic.
Well,
and it's amazing that this is helpful. So I think that's it's a powerful tool, and I encourage anyone to play with Lego.
Mm, absolutely. It's probably one of the few, not the few, there's a few different ones, but this is a toy or a, well, it starts out as a toy for most kids, right? And I think it's one that really, in some ways, has not changed at all. Like the actual, like a piece of Lego from whenever it first came out will fit, right? There's no compatibility issues. There's no, oh, geez,
nope.
You don't have the right version. There's no dongles, unless you build one.
Yep.
But, you know, it's really something. I mean, I could relate from the perspective of as a kid, you know, many years ago, building with Lego. I still have some of my Lego that, you know, not the creations. Yep. Well,
feel free to send it my way.
Absolutely.
I'm always accepting Lego donations.
Well, let's open that bracket right now, because I, of course, forgot to bring them, but I'm part of my to-do list is to just go through with my kids and say, look, there's my Lego from when I was a kid that I've been hanging on to that, quite frankly, they don't find that cool because there's nothing. They like building the stuff as it comes. And I can't say there's been an awful lot of sort of experimenting outside of that. A little bit, but usually within it. So if it was a Millennium Falcon, I don't think we have that one, but some type of ship, then maybe there was a slightly different version of the same ship. That's about as the way it went. I mean, my kits were much more basic back then. You know, so it's a bunch of bricks. There's no instructions anymore. But so I will be bringing those, I will be donating those to you, and I'll see how much I can grab. But certainly to everybody listening and watching that wants to help, there's a very tangible, simple way to help is to donate Lego bricks.
Yeah.
And so how would they get them to you?
Well, I have a website called Graceful Bricks. It's gracefulbricks.wordpress.com. You can also email me at gracefulbricks@gmail.com. And I will accept any donations of bricks. I will also do loans. So I have collections of Lego that people have given me, and they've said, well, you know, when our kids have kids, we'd like it back. And I said, okay, well, is that going to be anytime soon? And well, no, they're just 17. Okay, so it's going to be a few years.
Right.
And they've said, yeah. So they give me the bricks, and I weigh it, and I take pictures of it, and I check to see what sort of amazing sets or pieces are in there, and I'll build any of the amazing ones so that they can keep those.
Right.
And then I email them all that information, and then I use the bricks for my own art. And when they want it back, whether it be in 6 months or 6 years, I'll just take a look at the files I sent and amass a similar collection.
Right. So they can go rebuild what.
So that for them and their family, they can enjoy the Lego that they had.
That's very creative.
But I don't want the Lego to just sit in the attic. Or the basement.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, I can just imagine in people's places how much of that. Because it's, you know, especially today, the Lego kits that you buy today are not cheap at all.
Right.
That's a pricey toy when you go the retail route of I'm buying a brand new Ninjago or whatever's out these days.
Yes.
So I can appreciate the idea of people going, well, geez, I want to hang on to that. It's worth something. It's not worth anything if you're not using it, first of all.
Yep.
But that's a great way around that to say, you know what, got it, but you're not going to do that. You're probably never going to use them. But even if you do, I will give them back to you. So that's very creative, and hopefully that encourages more folks to loan, but certainly donate.
Yep.
Is great, and because you also send out.
Yes.
Bricks all over the world to help people. How does that? Was that something you had the idea right out of the hopper, or did you?
So Lego is a tangible art form. You can hold it. Mm-hmm. It's three-dimensional. With other art forms, with other therapy tools, you can't necessarily hold it. You know, and that's one of the things I liked. And with creating Lego Save My Life, the goal was to create a support network that was tangible, because mm-hmm. and so I send Lego to people all over the world when they're struggling, when they're celebrating, to help them get through a rough time, to help them, you know, enjoy a good day. It doesn't matter, and people will explain what they're going through, and I will message and say, hey, I'm going to send you some Lego. Because Lego helps me so much, mm-hmm. and I don't want $5 worth of Lego to be the difference between someone seeing to the end of the week and not. And right. I know for myself that if somebody said, hey, I'm going to send you like just a small package of Lego, no matter how depressed or suicidal I was, I'd go, well, damn, now I have to stay alive till the end of the week when I get the Lego.
And you would feel and, a responsibility.
Yeah, and to get to that point, you know, suicide is typically a very impulsive action. Most people don't plan it out in great detail. I feel awful right now. It's never going to get better. I want to end it. And if you give yourself time, it does get better. It gets less, and you can feel like you can handle it. And if, you know, a few bricks coming from Canada is what it takes to keep people alive, mm-hmm. I'm happy to send it. And you know, this is just some of the work that I believe is important, and I do. And I don't have any corporate funding. I'm actually on disability myself, so I don't I'm not rolling in it, but mm-hmm. it's an important thing, and I do it, and I'm happy to. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
and I'm sure the recipients must be pretty
it's wonderful. I sent some small Lego to a friend who was celebrating 2 years of being self-harm free.
Okay.
So he hadn't hurt himself in 2 years, and he has a few kids, mm-hmm. and I said, well, let me send you some Lego. And he said, you know, I don't really need any, but you could send some for my kids.
Okay.
So I sent some, and then I got pictures a few days later of his kids and he working together and building Lego sets. And that's a moment that when you are a parent struggling with mental health, which I have been, mm-hmm. Having those little moments to connect with your kids, those are gold. Yeah. And they're so hard to find when the whole world is empty for you. So I was happy that that was something that, you know, a few dollars of Lego and some shipping could arrange for someone.
And it's sort of, it doesn't end there because you're, it's one of those good cycles. I mean, it's, you know, at least what I'm hearing, you're focused on something, you know, for that period of time. Okay, let me get a package together and send it to XYZ, which is giving you something positive to focus on. And this person's receiving that gift and sharing back with you, hey, you know what, you've impacted me positively. Again, that's, you know, I know that's not why you do it, but at the same time, it's a great moment for you, I'm sure, to be able to see, oh, great, that's great, hey, they got there, right?
Yes.
It'd be pretty annoying, you ship, well, I think we can all relate, you know, you ship stuff and it doesn't get there, it's frustrating. Honest, I sent it, but in this case, you, like you said, being able to see it, see that impact, I think must make you feel pretty good and validate what you already know, that you're making a difference, you're useful, you're purposeful, and that's sort of external tangible proof for those times that maybe you're not feeling like you want to believe your own stories.
Yeah.
You can reach out, grab those memories, grab those pictures. So.
Exactly. As someone who, you know, my mental health is oftentimes debilitating, and that's the reason I'm on disability. I can't work. I can't function normally. And a lot of times I sort of look at the world and society, and I think, well, you know, I have no value. Society has placed no value on what I am. I'm just a leech. And to be able to say, no, I do have value. I shared this thing with this person, and it's important, and it helped them. That's incredibly wonderful. And for me, being able to work with Lego and create things, but also share them, gives me a purpose. It gives me a sense of accomplishment. It gives me something to get me out of the bed in the morning.
Right.
Whereas if I didn't have Lego, I would not... There is no way I'd be on CKMS right now.
Okay. Right. Well, that's... and it's really something. In fact, the... And obviously, people can't see me because sometimes when we do the camera, maybe I'll just... just for a minute, but often what I was going to say was when we do the live show with the cameras, we have different angles, we have them on the people, and in this case, deliberately I was having it on the Lego because it's a great visual thing, but in the meantime, I'm busy playing with them because it's cool, and what I like, so hello everybody, so we'll go back to the Lego there, in case I forget, there we go, but it's such a simple, you know, piece, and you know, the way, especially the way you describe it as art, it's so true, and in that you create what you know, whatever you want to create, you're limited by really, well, to some degree, I'm sure you would say, because you probably hit those ends, you're limited by how many bricks you have, but
beyond that,
you're really only limited by your imagination in terms of what these things can represent, and that's honestly what I recall best about Lego as a kid is, you know what, it didn't matter to me if I didn't have all the pieces for whatever I was supposed to be building. I'll just make my own up. They just exist even if they're not there. I'm going to build something better anyways. It may look like crap, so to speak, from an aesthetic perspective to others. It's not relevant to me. I wasn't entering, you know, into a beauty contest for Lego. So, thankfully I took the thick ones. I know I used to be horrible at grabbing the flat ones and sticking them together and being unable to take them apart again. So you must have known that you didn't put any within my reach.
Well, I mean, the beautiful thing about Lego is that there's no instructions needed.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there are instructions if you want to build a specific model. But in terms of putting two bricks together, there is no instructions needed. And in fact, if you look at Lego instructions for, you know, let's say the Millennium Falcon or one of their giant sets, there's a Taj Mahal set. There's no language in there. There's no English. There's no French. There's no Spanish. It's just visual. So it's a language all to itself. So it doesn't have, there's no translation needed. Mm-hmm. And what I love about Lego, I mean, there's so many benefits to it as an art medium. It's reusable.
Yeah.
So I can build something, then I can tear it apart and do something else. It never goes bad. Mm-hmm. Lego from 60 years ago, I use and I build with, and it's just as good. I mean, you can't say that for paint.
That's true.
60-year-old paint is no good. It's three-dimensional, and it requires no special tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put it together with your bare hands, and it can be an elaborate thing where you have an entire room, like I do, dedicated to it, or you can just build it on your coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really whatever you want to create, and there's no right or wrong way to build with Lego, with the exception that you cannot chew the Lego.
Cannot chew the Lego?
Don't put Lego in your mouth,
no.
People.
Okay.
That is not, when I see Lego that has teeth marks on it, I'm coming for you.
Oh dear.
Okay. You out there with the Lego in your mouth. Watch it.
I will admit that as a child, I did build a fireplace with Lego.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And exposed to excessive amounts of flames, Lego will melt.
Yes,
so
it will.
I don't recommend doing that either. So I did, I don't know if I still have those. And melting Lego does not smell good. It does smell like burnt plastic.
Yes, it does.
But I still remember they warped a little to the side. The Lego didn't catch on fire.
Nope.
But I had some explaining to do as to why some of my Lego had soot on it and was bent as if somebody had melted it. Well,
you know,
I don't know what happened there. It was something to do with the flames, but yes.
You know, I have melted Lego. Now, okay, hold on. I have not melted Lego brand Lego. There are lots of different brands of building bricks.
Okay,
and they are
yes.
not all created equal. So I will not mention any of them by name because they are dead to me. But I have melted those. And the reason I did that was for a sculpture that I did. I have a project called Out of My Head.
Okay.
And if you check out my website, gracefulbricks.wordpress.com, you'll see pictures of the Out of My Head sculptures. They were originally, I envisioned these when I was actually in the psych ward because I wanted to put a visual representation of what mental health and mental illness feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sketching pictures. I sketched pictures of people with, you know, so I imagined popping the top of their head off and you could see inside their mind.
Okay. So this was conceptual while you were
yes.
admitted in the ward.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was. And then years later, I thought, well, I'm talking about mental health. Why don't I make these three-dimensional? So I've used Lego, and I've made about 10 or 12 of them now. And they are Lego heads. You see a face, eyeballs, nose, mouth, the whole works. And then on the top of their head, there's something going on.
Okay.
And that explains a part of mental illness. So one features a lot of fire. Another one has a person standing on a very, very small amount of land in the middle of an ocean with sharks circling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The one that I melted the Lego for.
The fake Lego.
The fake Lego,
yes.
Not the real stuff. It sort of looks like it's all just Lego that has been melted and gooped together. And so, you know, your brain is sort of, you know, the old, this is your brain on drugs thing, right?
Right. Okay.
And there's lots of different ways, where I have tried to represent mental illness, visually. And then the wonderful thing about them is that I'll take them out to events. I love going out to events, whether it be Waterloo's street festivals or maker events in Kitchener or teachers conferences or classrooms, and I will bring them, and people are not scared of the Lego.
Okay.
They want to talk about it, they want to explore it, they want to find out what's going on, and it allows me to have these great conversations about mental health, about mental illness, about emotions and feelings and stuff that, you know, if you tried to bring that up with your normal 7 to 12 year old, they might not jump on it. But when there's Lego attached, oh, they get it. And it's not just kids. It's adults, it's seniors, it's teenagers, it's university students. It's Lego appeals to everyone. And mental health doesn't care what age you are or what your background is. It's a struggle that we all face.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that's such a great point, Grace, because I, as you were describing, you know, a maker exhibit or whatnot, is, yeah, I can picture, you know, the you with a Lego exhibit and maybe some, even some of the more shocking, if that's the right word, pieces. But fundamentally, I think people will see, okay, this there's some Lego, there's something going on with Lego here. Let me check this out. And they have their, that's their filter. And, oh, okay, now we're, you know, you like you said, get into some more challenging topics, mental health being one.
Yep.
I'm contrasting that to the mental health booth, which is going to be, you know, people wanting to help and stand there with pamphlets to say, hey, mental health, and all the same things. And people are going to go, well, I'm not going to that booth because, you know, are those people, you know, if, depending on your filters, right? Or I don't want to be associated. What if people think I'm here because I have a, and all these stigmas. And what are we going to talk about? Are they going to judge me? Are they going to therapy me? What's, you know, am I going to... I think that's so smart. I mean, that's probably intuitive to you, but to me, that's that that's a wonderful approach to get, you know, the discussion going, especially, like you said, with different...
different age groups, different people. Yeah, it's something that I do because I'm an advocate for social justice. So I do pieces that talk about mental health, but I also do pieces that talk about transphobia and homophobia, talk about sexual assault and rape, talk about racism, poverty, lots of things like that. In fact, should you come across your melted, soot-ridden Lego, I will gladly take that. Because I use broken, chewed on, drawn on, nasty Lego to talk about poverty.
Okay.
Because when we think of Lego as this wonderful creative tool and that everybody should have access to it, but it's not free.
Right.
And if you're a child living, you know, and your parents are on disability or unemployed or you live in poverty, you don't have access to these toys, except maybe the sort of cast off rejects that make their way into Value Village or Goodwill. And so I love taking that Lego, the stuff that's looks like junk, and building entire cities with it. And people will look at it and go, why did you bring that? Like, it looks gross. I'd be like, yeah, it does. And but I love the contrast of, I go to Lego shows and people will see like these whole cities that look gorgeous, or these big spaceships that are literally worth, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars. And then they'll look at this exhibit and be like, this looks like, what's it doing here? And literally it's worthless. You could, it has no value. And I think we often think that, you know, poverty has no value, and that people living in poverty have no value. And that's just not the case.
Right.
And we need to look at that. And yeah, so I love building with broken bricks. I love building with any bricks. Occasionally I run out of bricks. I am working on a large scale sculpture. It's about the size. It's life size. It's a person.
Okay,
So it's a life-size person, and I started with red bricks because I had a ton of red bricks.
Now, is that the most popular color? Just curious.
Yes.
Really? Red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red, yellow, blue. Those are Lego's fundamental colors.
Okay.
White and black are also popular, but I use white and black for other things.
Okay.
But I started using red, and in fact, I ran out. I couldn't believe it because I had buckets of it, buckets and buckets of red, and I had no use for it. And I thought, well, I'll use it for this. And I have run out. So now I have to reach out to friends and supporters and say, can I borrow some of your red, please? and they'll give it to me, no worries, because they don't use it either. So,
well, that's good. But are you out at the moment?
The sculpture is on pause. I have built legs, a torso, and a head, but I have not built arms.
And of course, you're not going to switch to a different color.
No, it has to be red.
Okay.
There will be other colors used in the sculpture, but the red is an essential part.
Okay.
For this sculpture, which we'll be discussing mental health.
Right.
And okay. it will be the largest sculpture that I've built. It will have tens of thousands of bricks.
Wow, that's something. So it's a good time to remind folks to consider going through their stuffs, any Lego bricks, preferably not just any Lego bricks, any bricks that they do not use anymore can be donated. And if you go to gracefulbricks.wordpress.com or gracefulbricks@gmail.com, two ways to get a hold of Grace to arrange for the donation. And particularly the emphasis being on red for the purpose of the sculpture, but you'll take them all.
I will take them all. Yes.
So I just want to tie in how I came to know about you in the first place, which is interesting in and of itself, because there's a very cool, I guess it's, I don't know if it's a charity too, but it's a foundation called KW Awesome Foundation. And for those that don't know what that is, it's a foundation based in Kitchener-Waterloo. That's awesome.
Oh, yep.
That was great. That was a real good description, Kev. And what they do is I think, I don't know if it's...
It's bi-monthly. Every 2 months, they have a pitch meeting at Queen Street Commons, where a group of trustees will evaluate people's pitches. And the pitch can be anything. It's for... to get funding for a project. So whether it be a film or a product or a charity, or in my case, what I was there for was an art show. And if you get successfully chosen, they choose one at the end of the night to receive $1,000 in cold hard cash in a brown paper bag.
Yes.
They're literally very big on the brown paper bag.
Well, even the cold hard cash the night of is something. So it's like I don't like the comparison to Dragon's Den. It's not like that at all.
No,
there's no making people feel like shit.
Yes.
Pardon the language. But which is why I don't like that show. I love the concept of Dragon's Den and its equivalents. What I don't like is the way that they basically use... I find it's a misuse of power for ratings, because they've got people that are, in some cases, putting their lives on the line. Their beliefs and everything, and sometimes they get cut up to pieces, which makes for good TV, maybe as constructive criticism. But I'm going to go on a rant, but I find sometimes the way it's done certainly is done to make it look like it's an exciting show than really is needed to get the point across. But
that doesn't happen at KW Awesome.
No, exactly.
There are usually anywhere between 5 and 12 pitches. They're 10 minutes long. You're given 5 minutes to say your bit and then 5 minutes to answer questions. The trustees will give positive feedback. At the end, you're encouraged to pitch multiple times, so it's not a one-shot deal. You can come back.
Once per night. But if you don't get picked that night,
you can come back a couple months later, which is actually what happened. I pitched in November, and that was the month in which CKMS won the grant that night.
That's right.
And they encouraged me and said, "Why don't you come back?" So I came back in January and was successful. And so now the money that I was given is going to be used for an art exhibit, which will most likely take place in 2019. I had hoped for 2018, but scheduling at Gallery Spaces being what it is, it will be 2019. And it's going to be a Lego art exhibit. So it will talk about mental health. It will especially focus on the group Lego Save My Life and talk about the experiences of a lot of members there, the art that they create, the therapy that Lego offers them, and the benefits that they have. So you'll see all kinds of interesting Lego. You'll get to read the stories of people who use Lego as a way to deal with various different challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited for that project and hoping that that in the next few weeks I will confirm the dates. But at this point, I'm expecting the spring of 2019, so a year from now.
Which will come a lot sooner than any of us think. It sounds like everything always seems far away, especially when you say, oh, it's next year. I'm still blown away by the concept that the years start with a two. I'd never actually thought that would happen. I was indoctrinated to expect the end of the world, and not in a cult. That's a different show. But I just, it does boggle my mind that we're now 2018, and then it'll be 2019. So it'll come soon enough. Do you have any scheduled shows that you have upcoming that you're going to be at?
Yes. So last year, the City of Waterloo ran events every month called Open Streets.
Okay, yeah.
And I was a participant in that. This year, we're still figuring out the exact format, but I will be doing that. And likely in June, there will be a special Lego day of play in the City of Waterloo at Waterloo Town Square.
Okay.
As well, there's the Maker Expo, which takes place the first weekend in June at the Kitchener Auditorium.
Okay.
And it will have all kinds of different maker things. So, you know, creative fiber arts, people that use wood or metal or whatever. And I will be there with Lego, as well as a bunch of local Lego enthusiasts who will be displaying some other amazing works. Then in July, we have Brick Fete. It's Canada's largest Lego celebration.
So Fete is in the French for party, F-E-T-E.
You nailed it, okay. Exactly. And
so not
that,
Brick Fest, that's what I was going
no,
for.
No, it's Fete. Brick Fete, cool. Because we celebrate our dual French and Canadian heritages in that.
Wonderful.
And so it will take place in July. We're still not sure of the exact dates or location, but stay tuned. And then in August, I will be the artist at work at the Kitchener Public Library.
Oh wow!
So two Sundays, I will be at Central Library downtown Kitchener, and then at another one of the Kitchener Public Library branches. Building Lego, showing off my work, and talking about Lego art and Lego therapy. So my summer is jam-packed, but I love getting out and talking with people, because as cool as Lego is, it's better with friends.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool. And so all those dates are...
They'll be on my website.
They'll be on
absolutely.
Your website. So
gracefulbricks.wordpress.com. And I'm hoping that I'll schedule other events, and I'm always open to speak with community groups or foundations, do lectures, whatever. I was actually at the fibromyalgia support group of Kitchener-Waterloo this week, and talking with them about how Lego can be useful with physical disabilities that cause immense amounts of pain and suffering. And it was wonderful, because while mental health is certainly something that people with fibromyalgia struggle with, when I was talking about mental health and I brought some of my sculptures, they looked at them and went, "Whoa, that's just what I feel like with my fibromyalgia." And I thought, wow. Like, this was something I created to talk about one thing, but it talks about so many things. And I think that's pretty much the mark of good art, is that it can be interpreted many different ways by the stories that people live.
Yeah. And as much as we're talking about some some difficulties and hardships through this. What the thread I'm seeing throughout all of it, though, is such a sense of positivity from you, and such a sense of goodness, right? As how you see Lego and how you can use it, and that's what you're bringing, and that's really something. Which is great. So Lego Saved My Life is a closed Facebook group, but folks that want to join can just apply and they will they will get in. But it's closed in the sense that the discussions going on within it are not posting public all over Facebook. Cambridge Analytica bullshit aside.
Oh my!
I didn't say that. And it's a great it's a great group. So folks that want to engage in that way can. Can we, I want to talk about something else, believe it or not. See, it's already 1:15. I usually, I think I'm going to break a record because as I always do, I like to ask for songs that my guests like, so that I can play stuff they like and gives us a bit of a break. I don't want to lose a minute of speaking with you. So are you okay if I don't play any music?
And, that's fine.
And you did pre-warn me that if we did, one of the songs you'd picked was the Lego theme song, that people might get a little...
Yes, from the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. And I said, you know, before we play that, if we do, we have to give a trigger warning for people that if they hear this song, they might end up singing it all day.
Exactly.
And so it's definitely an earworm. And and I'm glad that... I'm kind of glad we're not going to hear it today.
So, or maybe I'll play it at the end after my show. And then we can walk away and say, that wasn't us, that was the next show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I want to talk to you about trans. So you mentioned in the beginning that you're transgender.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that you advocate for is trans.
Yes.
Social justice, I think, is the umbrella. But, you know, I'll confess a naivete to not what it is, but, you know... Maybe help me understand, you know, why are, you know, what I
help you understand what's going on.
What's going
with
on
this,
and what's
this
the,
whole
what's the
thing.
Big deal from the perspective of why are people so ups? Why are non-trans people so caught up with whatever trans people are doing, and why do they care and want to get all involved?
Sure.
Maybe would be a good question.
So so trans people so there's as with all queer issues, there's language that that is kind of essential for people to understand. So I'm transgender, which means that the birth sex that I was assigned at birth, I was assigned male at birth, does not line up with the gender that I present now. Gender is... Sex is defined by chromosomes and hormones and a whole bunch of other factors.
Right.
Gender is defined by the way we live, the choices we make, the clothes we wear, the way we act, all kinds of stuff like that. And then you have sexual attraction, which is who you find sexy.
Right.
Those are all different. So we're typically used to males being defined by their genitals and their attraction to women. That is a cisgender, so the same. Cis means same.
Gotcha.
So what is on the outside matches what's on the inside. So your mind, the way you think, and the way that you present in the world matches the genitalia and whatever that you were born with.
Right. So what?
So
what? I guess.
So
people would say
without.
I don't even know what word to use. I want to say standard, and by standard, or help me with
heteronormative.
The right word. Okay.
Heteronormative.
So what people would think if you did not, if they just had to guess.
Yeah.
That's the guess. That's what that is. Everything's what you think it is.
And so heteronormative and cis normative. So
okay.
We typically assume if we see a man, that he has male body parts and he is attracted to women.
Right.
And no matter what you might assume, you can't know that. So we make that assumption, but you know, while we might think, you know, there's often talk about gaydar and whether you can spot somebody who's gay or bisexual or whatever. But the reality is that you can't.
Right.
And I always say, unless you actually watch someone in the bedroom, you have no idea what they're attracted to. So you can make assumptions, but assumptions are risky.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was assigned male at birth, lived for quite a while as a male, had a family, and was very happy. Was always aware that I was bisexual.
Okay.
So I was attracted to men and women and everyone in between. That's now a term called pansexual. Basically, it means that gender is not just either male or female. There's a whole spectrum. And pansexual encompasses that. So I can find people attractive. Not everyone is attractive in my mind.
but they're not eliminated by which genitalia. Group they fall into.
Yep, it's not. I don't care what genitalia you have or what gender you are. That's not the deciding factor for whether or not I find you attractive. And then when I was in my late 20s, I just sort of through a news story fell into finding out about trans and transgender people. And for me, it was finally seeing what the front of the box was for a puzzle.
Okay.
So I'd been putting these pieces together for my whole life, and I didn't know what I was building. I'd get a little hint here and a hint there. I might have the outside edges, but I finally saw how everything made sense. So I came out, and coming out as trans is a very difficult experience. Coming out as trans or gay or queer is still a very, very lonely, difficult experience, even in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came out, at first, initially, a lot of people supported me, but very quickly they disappeared. My mental health struggled, and that caused rifts in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, now, about 5 years into this process, I don't have anyone that knows me for more than 5 years. So okay. My parents have disowned me.
Oh, wow. So they're alive, but they do not.
Yep, they have no contact with me whatsoever. I don't have any contact with my best friends from university, the people who were best men at my wedding.
Okay.
I don't live with my kids anymore. I've lost jobs. I've been ignored for positions that I was qualified for. Mm-hmm. In essence, while we have made great strides in terms of the legal framework, allowing same-sex marriage and protecting gender identity under the Ontario Human Rights Code, there's still a lot that needs to happen. And there's still a lot that needs to happen to make life safe.
Mm-hmm.
Bathrooms are unfortunately one of the major areas where trans people, where being trans comes up. And believe it or not, trans people pee just like everyone else. We go to the bathroom, and all we do is go to the bathroom and we wash our hands. That's it. That's all we do.
Yeah.
I spent most of my life going in male washrooms. I now use female washrooms because most of the time I'm perceived as female, and that's just safer for me.
Right.
And I can tell you that they're basically the same. They're just bathrooms.
Right. Everybody.
There's
a urinal difference. I would hope there's not.
Oh, sure.
Many, but that's just squibbling. I mean, the point you're making is overrides that and is tremendously valid. And I really, you know what, I just appreciate your frankness and your willingness to talk like this. I think it's, to me, one of those many things. I mean, this is not the only one, but this is certainly a big one, that is the news, the pervasiveness of the internet allows that there's a whole ton of what I would call information out there or awareness, but it doesn't, that doesn't, just because the stuff's all floating out there doesn't mean anybody's paying attention or listening. Often the people that need to, the people in positions of power, the people that have an influence over decisions,
yes,
by groups or just other people that go, well, okay, yeah, this, you know, they've somehow made up their mind. I mean, I would, you know, not stand to judge anybody, because I find myself doing it, and it's a constant battle every day for me to ask myself, okay, I don't know anything about subject X, but somehow I seem to be rather well informed in my head about the outcome I think should be there. And I think that's not that uncommon. That I'm not worried about. I think everybody judges. I think it's a question of, okay, good, now that you're done with that, now what do you do? Because not to make this about me, but I think it's important to sort of get a sense of perspective for folks that might be listening to relate is, you know, the first time I might have heard the issue about the bathrooms and trans was, you know, in legal issues in the States. And you know, it's just not something I live every day at all. I don't have, it's never in my life once, other than, you know, stupid things like by accident going into the one washroom,
yep,
or they're misidentified. But the issue is resolved immediately, if you wish, from a guy going in a guy's bathroom or whatever. It's not, this is not a safety issue for me. This is not a choice issue or that's not the right word I wanted to use, but you, if you know what I mean. So I think folks like me, if I want to put it that way, that just have no concept of how it affects anybody because it's not affecting me, go, well, okay, what's the big deal then? I don't go fussing around my bathroom choices. Why do I have to hear about everybody else's? Well, that's the friggin' point, I think. As I go, well, exactly. Can you not understand how you would feel if, like, you know, that's what I would say to people is, how would you feel if you had to think about it every time you had to go to the bathroom? If you had to wonder, okay, will I be safe? Will somebody wonder what I'm doing and things like that? Would that not kind of get at you? Because we kind of all go several times a day. And you know what? I think it's a great point is, what else do you think is going on in there? You know, at least the bathrooms, you know, and I've been in quite a few and I've been in a lot of places. That's pretty much what they're for. And they, you know, anyways.
By and large, they're not, there are no couches.
No.
There are no beds. No. There are no wild orgies going on bathrooms. It's mainly just people peeing. Honestly, most bathrooms that I've been in, I really wouldn't want to spend too long in. It's kind of like, okay, let's do this and get out of here because it's not a great place. But for a trans person, I mean, even myself, and I'm very out and I'm a bit of a loud mouth and talk about these issues. Every time I use the bathroom, I'm intimidated and scared and worried.
Okay.
When I'm at, I have my safe spots. When I go to Waterloo Public Library, they have single use stalls. So it's an any gender bathroom.
Yeah.
You go in, you lock the door, you do your thing, you leave. When I go to Fairview Park Mall and it's choose one, I every time I do that, I sort of look at myself in the mirror and I evaluate, you know, do I look feminine enough to be in the women's washroom, or am I going to be perceived as a man? And in which case, should I go in the men's washroom? And it's not a fun experience to be questioning something as fundamental as that, and then to be worried about how everyone's going to react and whether you'll be kicked out or whether there'll be an issue with security or whether you'll just get weird looks or it's a challenge. And anybody who, you know, wants to be an ally, it's greatly appreciated if you have trans people in your lives to just say, you know, whichever bathroom you're going in, I will come with you. I will support you. And I will back you up. If you run a business or have a washroom in your building, to make it just one gender and to just be, you know, let anyone use it. To I mean, there used to be a time in which we had colored washrooms.
Yeah.
For people who were people of color, who were African American. We've done away with that. It's a process, and right now we're in the beginning stages of it. And the reason why I talk so much about these issues is that other people talk so much about other issues when I was young. Mm-hmm. So people fought for my right to exist.
Okay.
Homosexuality was criminalized for a long time in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at one point in Canada's history, I could have been sent to an insane asylum for just being trans.
Okay.
Forget my mental health. I'm crazy anyway, but...
Homosexuality was actually taken out of the criminal code not that long ago, right?
No, the last 50 years. It was Pierre Elliott Trudeau who decriminalized homosexuality. And if you think about it, I mean, same-sex marriage is a 20-year-old concept in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means that there are kids at university right now who've never known it any other way. But there are also seniors in senior homes that have lived their whole life thinking that it's weird or odd for this to exist. And we have to find a bridge between everybody.
But there's also, I mean, there's, you know, the part that sort of, I would say, brings it all home for me is there's also seniors that have lived their whole lives feeling a shame from society.
Hidden or in the closet.
You know, that couldn't, and you know, maybe, can you imagine? I mean, people talk about a lot of the challenges as a youth and whatnot, but I mean, what do you do if you're 75 years old and you've lived your whole life because of the society we grew up with, that you're like, you know what, I'm not coming out now, you know?
There's actually
Or what if you do and you're not accepted? Jesus H. I mean, I think people, I hope people get from this discussion and other discussions that, you know, it's layered, and at the end of the day, we're talking about people, and you know, that's the fundamental here. We're all people. Sadly, we're already, actually, we are already cutting into somebody else's time, but they're going to have to forgive us. We're going to keep going for a couple more minutes, if that's okay, Grace.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to just cut off and go, okay, well, time's up, which we technically should have done 2 minutes ago, but this is a slightly extended version of In Studio with Kevin, so bear with us. I believe we're cutting off Wings right now, so sit tight. Wings is coming on momentarily. So to wrap up, I had all kinds of great thoughts. I think one of them is going to be that I'd love to maybe have a further discussion with you at some point in the future. Maybe, we can, there's lots more to talk about. I'd love to have you back at some point. You're going to have the exhibit coming up in 2019.
Yep.
I'd love to hear more about the Lego.
If anyone wants to get in contact with me, my website is gracefulbricks.wordpress.com. If you want to email me directly, it's gracefulbricks@gmail.com. And feel free to dig out your Lego from your attic and start playing with it. And when the kids are playing with it or they've gone to bed, play with it.
There you go. And thank you so much, Grace. I wish you all the best. This has been, a wonderful experience. If why don't we just do you want to quickly show us the that yeah?
Oh sure.
Just before we go, because I think that's a pretty cool.
So this is this is one that is talking about trans being trans and the challenge of coming out. So it turns. Depending on which way you turn it, you see different words.
Yeah, so I think I saw pride. There we go. Okay, so I got pride.
Hold on, let me see. Oh, there.
Yeah, I know. It's, trust me. This is a good test. No, and then you want to, there you go.
Okay, so it says pride that way.
Now the other way.
The other way it says fear.
Oh, see, I saw peace, but okay. Fear.
Fear.
Wow.
And
it's even dark. I can't see that. That is actually...
So for those of you
who
aren't watching at home, you're going to have to go on my website, gracefulbricks.wordpress.com, and you'll see a Lego mosaic. It's got lots of little tiles on it at an angle, and depending on which way you look at it, you see either pride or fear. And that, for me, is a great point, because depending on which way you look at life, coming out can either be a moment where you feel a lot of pride and you're very proud of what you are, or it's a very fearful time. And I've experienced both of those, and depending on which way you look at it.
Well, thank you very much, Grace. This has been In Studio with Kevin on CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Have a great afternoon.